Hello, and welcome to season 18 of the Weekly Song Podcast. If you've never joined us before, this is a show where myself, Declan Kitchener, and my co-host, Roger Hevers, say hello, Roger.
Hello, everybody. Season 18.
Season 18. Each write a song within the space of a week, and then we bring them to the podcast, have a little listen to them, and sort of discuss the process of writing them, and what went into them, what the meanings of things are, what we were inspired by, all sorts of things like that. That is generally what we try to do. Doesn't always end up working out that way, but it's always a fun time. Hello, Roger. How are you?
Hello, I'm well, thank you. I'm good. I'm really pumped to be back podcasting, and we're actually visual as well as audio this time, so people are finding out what we look like.
Exactly. I hope you're all not bitterly disappointed.
Do you ever have that with like a radio show where you've listened to it, or a podcast, you listen to it for years, and then you suddenly see a photo of them and you go, oh, I didn't expect that.
So your voice does not match your face.
A good face for radio, I think they say. But yeah, it's good to be back. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm kind of excited, but I'm also kind of nervous. It's always that way on the first show of the season. I think you and I have discussed this before, where coming back to it after having had a little break, you sort of have that fear of like, oh, can I write a good song? Have I used up all my ideas? And then by the end of the week, you go, no, of course I haven't used up my ideas. What on earth was I talking about? But what about yourself? Did you have any of that this time?
Oh, every time, every time. But like you say, you always do come up with something, and I don't know, songwriting, creativity, it is a bottomless well. It never goes dry. You just have to go there. But it is daunting when you, because we haven't written in a few months.
Since November, I think.
Yeah, so it is daunting, and it, you know, especially because in your mind, sometimes you go, I want to come back having improved or like with new ideas. And so that adds a little bit more pressure. So, but no, I think we both come up with good songs this week, and I'm really excited to listen to them and share them.
Well, first up, we are actually listening to Roger's song that he's written within a week. Roger, what is the name of the song, and how does it go like?
Well, the name of the song is Wake Up, and it goes like this.
As soon as I wake up, I notice something over my eyes. As soon as I cotton on, you were already gone. Better wake up, wake up. As soon as I stepped out, I couldn't let a sleeping dog lie. When my mind goes south, all the words from your mouth tell me wake up, wake up, wake up. Don't go back to bed again. As soon as I fall down, I notice someone with a hand outstretched, and the words they said made me wake up, wake up. You've got it all mixed up. We're here to help you open your eyes, 'cause there's a world out there, and I knew you could never make up. So wake up, wake up. Don't fall back to sleep again. It's right or wrong, I don't know how to fight. I don't know where to run and hide. Take my hand, be my guide. As soon as I give up, I couldn't help but cover my eyes. It's all my fault, I never wake up on time. If you and I break up, it doesn't matter how much I cry, 'cause that long day's end, I can call my friend. And when I wake up, I wake up, I wake up, there's somebody there again. As soon as I
That was Roger's first song of the season, Wake Up. And I'm definitely awake. I was having a nice little dance to that one. That is a lot of fun. So this kind of feels very Roger classic in a way. Like there's a lot of your favorite little things that you do in here, but also some really cool stuff that I don't think you do quite so much. Where does this one start for you?
Well, thanks. And it starts with a rhythm. It starts with the rhythm. So it's funny you say it's like quite classic Roger, because it is, like, in that sort of the tempo and the strumming pattern and everything and the chords. But I try to make this into like a punk rock song. That's how I started it.
Okay. You shifted a little from that goal.
A little bit. In fact, I was so adamant that I wanted to make this like a fast-paced song that I tried to force it, because basically the way I started the song was I was listening to a lot of Ramones and a band called The Shivers, who are from the late 80s. Both of which are very fast-paced, like, you know, very fast-paced punk melodic rock. So I set that as the rhythm I'd write to. So originally this song was very much like, as soon as I wake up and notice something over my eyes. So still the same rhythm, same melody, same lyrics even, but much faster and much more with a different type of production in mind. And the further down the demoing process I got, I was like, I just noticed I kept on slowing it just a little bit, little bit, little bit, until I ended up back in my comfort zone, which is so often the case.
But you do feel songs like pulling you a certain way sometimes, don't you? Where like you think, yeah, I'm going to write a real rock one this time, or I'm going to write something that's got a bit of a beat to it. And then you think, no, this has just turned into a folk song. Why has this turned into a folk song? I guess I've written enough of folk songs.
Damn my rustic ways. I mean, that it does happen sometimes. I mean, I think this is something you and I touch on quite often, is like trying to break out of your wheelhouse, because you want to explore, you want to kind of come up with different types of music, but some types of music seem more natural for you to write, some rhythms are easier for you to write in. I will just say, like, generally, I think since a couple of seasons ago, starting just with the type of rhythm I want to write in mind has been a really big help. It kind of helps you avoid that blank page fear of like, oh god, what do I even write? Just having a basic, oh, I'm going to write something in 6/8, dun, 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 or whatever, like, at least it helps you start, you know what I mean?
Exactly, yeah, like you've got somewhere to go from, otherwise you are literally just playing all the cliches that you play. Like, I know in the past when I've had to do this, and you end up just playing your old riffs or your old chord ideas, or like, oh, this was a good one, perhaps if I play it again it will give me another idea, as if that works.
Yeah. And it hardly ever works in a new way, but you know, there's nothing too wrong with that. It's funny, I went more complex with this one than I thought I would, because
it's that cool little timing thing.
Oh yeah, it kind of happened naturally. So I don't like it when I kind of feel like I'm forcing a time signature change, but in order for it to line up with the chord changes I had in mind, it kind of required the wake up, wake up, wake up, don't fall back to sleep again. So those three wake ups, because the three of them adds in another, I think, two beats to the bar. So you have one little bar, 2/4. And I thought that kind of broke it up quite nicely, because other than that, the verses are very much, you know, classic like 60s type of Beatles-ish pop song thing, but then adding that little time change in adds something a little bit different. And yeah, I mean, the whole thing was like, I was thinking, I even said to you, like, off podcast, like, I'm gonna try and write a punk song, like just a straight, not punk, but like a straightforward upbeat punk song.
You did say this to me.
It didn't quite work out. I think the seed is in there, but that's not enough, really.
That's kind of cool, like thinking about like that in terms of its origin zone, where it ends up going. Because once you say that, you can look back on it and sort of see the DNA of that in there, and like the path not taken, almost.
Yeah, no, that's so true. And I think like structurally, this one kind of came about like pretty much all at once. So it was like, you know, I kind of got the main thing. You know, as soon as I wake up. Da, 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 which is a chromatically descending line, at least in the bass line anyway. So the whole song's in G major, you know, country songwriter's friend. And you start off in G, and then you play... It's funny, now we're on video, I'm doing like little like shapes with my hands.
Yeah, I can see you doing it, and it's pleasing to know that I'm not the only person who does that. Like, right, so it's an E, and it goes to an F-sharp minor, and then to a C-sharp diminished.
Oh, this is a good opportunity to say as well, if you're listening on audio, like a schmuck, then the things we're talking about are visual, so check us out on YouTube.
Nothing like a little mid-episode promo. But yeah, I thought I could detect some chromaticism going on in there, like a little cheeky little rundown. Always like that, like breaking out of the scale that you're in to sort of include some other key centers and tonal centers.
Mm.
Like you were saying as well, like there's some more sophisticated chords in the chorus. So like, how does that compare to what you've got in the verses there?
Yeah, well, I mean, in the verses, I'm going G major down to D over F sharp. To F major to E minor. So you're going, you know, G, F sharp, F, E.
D, C sharp, F, E.
So you're going non-diatonic pretty quickly with that F. But other than that, it's pretty much like quite, it's either major or minor chords, nothing too crazy. And then when I got to the chorus, I just felt pulled to like throw in a couple of major seven chords in there. So... Which chords that kind of have a little bit more of a, I always think of it as like a kind of floatier feel, you know, a bit more, how would you describe them?
They've got a bit of ambiguity in them. Like I do like using major seventh chords for songwriting because it wants to go somewhere, but it doesn't want to go somewhere terribly quickly.
They're Sunday chords.
That might be a title.
Yeah, and they provide a different feel, which is a quite nice tool. You know, if you feel like your song's kind of plodding along in one direction and you're like, you know, because I think changing it up a little bit can always refresh the listener's ear a little bit, you know. So just kind of throwing in those chords. And also it kind of makes your melodies a bit different. Like I noticed the moment I played that C major 7 chord in the first chord of the chorus, I found that my voice went up and I was singing more floaty melodies and things like that. So... which then informs the lyrical choices. So immediately you're kind of in a different direction, knowing that you can come back to the verse. So it's just a case of a bit of contrast, really.
It's always important. It really clearly demarcates the two sections as one being definitely the verse and one being definitely the chorus. So in terms of sort of lyrical stuff and words and lyrics and things in this song, what a great sentence that was. Sort of where does that all come from? Where does the imagery for this one sort of begin?
It's me just playing around with words that seem to fit the melody I've come up with to go over the top of the guitar chords. So this time it happened to be as soon as I, knowing that I would be on the one of the bar of the beginning of the verses. So as soon as I, and then I was thinking, what next? Wake up, you know, so the beginning of a day, that sort of thing. Pretty simple imagery. And then I just went into my notebook and I just wrote a bunch of stuff that kind of either rhymes or could be used in place of wake up, make up, break up, fall down, you know, all these different things. Like as soon as I do this thing, you know. So then I kind of knew that I had the beginning of my verses lyrically because I knew that all of them would start with as soon as I do something. And then the rest of the verse would be filling in what that means. So... at the beginning of the verse one, I had this imagery of, like, you wake up and you're blindfolded. So, like, immediately starting the day off kind of blind, and which was kind of cool imagery, ironically, because you can't see it. But, you know, like, so you're starting off on that first. So, like, why is that? How did this person or me get in this situation?
And was it a good time?
I mean, you know, it sounds like it. Sounds like it. As soon as I wake up, I'm tied up, you know. But, you know, so, you know, you wake up and you've got something over your eyes. Who put you in that situation? All that kind of thing. And then eventually, as I started to go through the song, as often happens, like, you notice certain themes emerging. And it's kind of like the push and pull thing. We've spoken before about, like, the... you start a verse with if this, and then you explore then what happens after that. And so a lot of it was just about, I find myself in a bad situation, but I always have somebody there to help me out. It's basically what the song is about. Like, I always have friends I can lean on, and just having gratitude for that, even though sometimes I feel like really lost, I guess.
Mm. Yeah, it's, I think, something that everyone's felt at some point, that sort of sense of feeling like a cast adrift almost.
Mm.
But it's kind of interesting that that all comes out of that one vocal hook, as opposed to sort of being preordained, like, I shall write about my feelings. I shall feel them now.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, okay, what would be a cool thing to come out of here? Wake up, break up, shake up, fall down.
Well, as you can see, I've quickly ran out of things that rhyme with wake up. You know, I used all the good ones in verse one and two, and like by verse three, I was like, fall down, that'll work.
It definitely rhymes.
So, I mean, yeah, just kind of exploring that. And I kind of, you know, the last point in the lyrics I'll say is like, just allowing myself for things not to make sense at first, I think is a good thing, particularly if, you know, if you're a new songwriter listening and that sort of thing, or watching, you know, you might go, oh, it needs to make sense, and bloody hell, my second verse already doesn't make sense. But you can kind of make things make sense. You can kind of follow that sort of elusive, like, it sounds good but doesn't make sense, to the point where, I mean, I've, every season for the past few seasons, I've been like, I want my words to make more sense, for the song to be about something. And I still think that, and I want that more than ever now, rather than it just being this nebulous thing. But it doesn't have to make sense at first, I guess, is what I'm saying. So
the meaning isn't initially going to be there, but once, you just have to trust that it will arrive at some point, basically.
Definitely. And I think if you kind of get into that songwriting mode for long enough, don't you find, like, you just, you can't help but express what's going on in your inner world.
There is some stuff where you write it and then you suddenly think, where on earth did that come from?
Yeah.
Like, I did not know that I was holding on to X, Y, or Z.
I know. I mean, I've done stuff before, like, where I'll record an album and then I happen to listen to it, like, 8 months down the line, and I'll go, bloody hell, I can hear what I was going through at the time, and I didn't mean it to be that way. It's funny.
It's like, man, that guy was going for some stuff.
But yeah, I mean, pretty simple song this time round. Couple of little tricks in there, but just kind of a simple pop song. So that's kind of it for that one. And I'm excited to move on to yours.
Well, I just want to say that I really like your song. I really like as well, I just want to mention that it sort of ends on that guitar solo outro with the slightly different feels in there. I think that's a cool trick. I like that. One out of one.
Thank you.
Moving on to my song for this week. Yep, the first of seven from me for this run, and this one is called Not Enough, and it goes something like this.
I know I'm wearing thin, and I am uneasy. I feel the circle start again. This well-trodden path I have walked, I'm stuck as a silhouette of all I could have been. No, it's not over yet, but boy, does it feel like a lowlight's real. I lost myself in amongst my days, and the same my mind away, losing grasp on the things I love. I have been knocked down, trying to stand up. I have tried my best, and it's not enough. I can't talk about the rain and spout small again. I only speak in quotes of things I'm allowed to say. I spotted in myself, and that frustrates me. No time just for myself, so I don't
even try, as my mind wonders why I lost myself in amongst my days, and this same routine lost my mind away. I'm losing grasp by the things I love. I have been knocked down trying to stand up. I have tried my best and it's not enough. I had hoped that I was made of stern stuff, but we all break down just to build back up. My days, my most brave routine, but it's hard to break. I'm losing grasp of the things I love, but they'll still be here when I get back up. It may take a while and the path is rough, but all I can do is to be enough.
So that was Declan's first song of season 18. That was Not Enough. And it was enough. It was enough. I can't do those puns like Declan can, but I love it. That's a fantastic song. I'm curious if this one started with the rhythm like mine did, because it seems to have that driving, chugging rhythm. Did it?
Yeah, so basically most of the time when I write songs, as you know, I tend to sort of write the music first and put the words on after. So it sort of came about hanging notes over a power chord. So again, people who are just listening on the audio version of the podcast might want to pop over to the YouTube now for a sec. It came out of holding a power chord on the bottom couple of strings, and then holding either a third or a seventh or a fifth over the top to get something like this.
Okay, I see. Yeah, so kind of like a suspended sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. So it was built on that. And then eventually the chugging sort of thing came in. So it's just like, okay, cool. I've got a rhythm. I've got somewhere to take it throughout the course of the song. And I thought, just with the way the chords were shaping up, in a sort of similar vein to you, I thought this was going to be a bit more of a floaty one, a bit more just ethereal. And it didn't quite work out that way when we got to the chorus. So I thought, oh, okay, let's play into that and just have a boom, ka-boom, ka-boom, bit happening on the verse four there. But
it's brilliant. Yeah. It's really cool. It's funny how it kind of sometimes a song takes you in a different direction than you'd expect. Like you go, yours was kind of the opposite to mine, where you were like, it's going to be this floaty thing and it's like going to be a loose, and then you get to the chorus, something takes over and you go, nah, it needs to be in a different direction, which I love.
Just like, you know what, just actually let's put a bit of energy into this one, shall we?
I'm curious as well, because like when you got to that more energetic part, the lyrics seemed to shift as well. So like, did that inform the general tone and emotion of the song as well?
So this one was a bit of a weird one in that I ended up writing the chorus first. Normally what I do is I just write into the abyss. I know. Normally what I do is I end up just getting my melody in order, knowing roughly what the shape of the tune is going to be, and then trying to write words that fit. For this one, I sort of did that, and then the chorus bit had words that came first. The I lost myself in amongst my days, all that sort of stuff. I was like, okay, cool. This is something that I was feeling. Now the task is just building up to that, escalating that, and backing down from that in verses 1 and 2, 3 and 4, and in the bridge. So in one way it was nice and clear, because then I sort of had a roadmap of knowing, right, I need to reach here by XYZ point in the song. But also like, okay, right, how do I escalate this while keeping the words the same?
Yeah. I like the fact that you came up with the chorus kind of first, at least lyrically, because you had those words. I mean, kind of like we were saying before, like, you can't help but kind of express what's going on with you. And I'm curious if, like, when you wrote that chorus, you were like, I think I know what my verses are going to be about now. Did you feel that way?
I had this thing of, I think I know what they're going to be about. Like, trying to sort of second guess myself.
Mm.
And they ended up being a bit different because they obviously end up being that way. I think the only bit that sort of stayed in was the two bits. I can't bear to talk about the rain again. I'm not talking about the weather and having the same conversation for the, you know, 15th time today. Can you tell that I work in customer service? also the other bit was like, I can sense this in myself and it frustrates me. So those are the only two sections that I knew were going to be in there and sort of remained in there. And I think they're probably the weakest parts of the song at the moment. Cause like, I think I rhyme myself with myself, which is always a strong look. That bit needs a bit of a rewrite. But everything else, the stuff that I didn't know was going to be there seems to be a bit stronger, at least in my ears.
I think the whole thing's really strong. And I think one of the reasons the strength is there to my ears is that the feel of the music matches what I read into the lyrics. I mean, of course, you know, I'm going to read into lyrics maybe something different than what they are. But I get that sense of sort of like kind of being tired of the mundane a little bit and a bit sort of tired of being in a routine, perhaps something like that. But the music matches that really well. Am I at all near the lyrics or?
You're quite close, yeah. It's sort of like sort of being worn out and tired and sort of disconnecting and you sort of being able to see it and sort of see it happening, like seeing a car crash in slow motion ahead of you, just like, okay, right, how do we put the brakes on this one?
Yeah.
It's worked out quite well in that the tone does match what the guitar is doing. Sometimes it does end up, you try and play against it or things don't quite gel, but I like that sort of ticking under there is sort of helping to sort of build that tension slightly throughout the whole thing, which is not intentional in any way, shape or form, but it's worked out okay. So if anyone asks me and they're not from this podcast, why not? It was intentional the whole time. I'm literally, I plan these things so far in advance.
I think good at my job, one thing I've got to ask you about, which I'm sure the listeners will have noticed as well, and viewers, is that diminished chord, I think, or something in the chorus where you kind of go down a step and it's like, ooh, that's nice. So what was that? How did that come about?
You're quite correct. It is a diminished chord.
Yes.
You're talking about, I have been that down and I'll get back up. Oh, that section. So that started out being, when I initially wrote it, being a C sharp. The whole song's in A flat, by the way. So it was C sharp, A flat diminished, and then back to A flat. I sort of realized, hold on, wait a minute. Why don't I just play A flat over the C sharp as well? So it's an A flat suspended in the bass, just boom, 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 holding throughout all of that. And then A flat over C sharp, A flat over A flat over A flat diminished, and then back again. I do just like using that diminished chord to sort of switch between the natural and it. There's this really nice sort of off-kilter movement to it, which sort of adds, it's got a bit of a suspense, like, uh-oh, kind of energy to it, which I think is really fun.
Definitely. I when I first heard the song, I was like, I thought of that change as almost diagonal, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it's almost like, it's kind of like the opposite of like the suspension, like the James Bond thing where like, where a chord is like stretching up. And it's like kind of,
And it's nice because the chorus has that shift in tonality, because there is something pretty magnetic about that chord change, whereas the verses kind of go back down to that more chuggy driving section again.
Mm.
I mean, do you think about those kind of contrasts consciously, or do they just sort of happen?
They just sort of happen. I am not that smart.
Me neither.
But when that sort of diminished thing came in there, that sort of then ended up dictating what the bridge was going to be. So it's just like, okay, cool. So how about we have a bridge that feels like it's extending out of the chorus? So instead of those chords I said a moment ago, C sharp over A flat, A flat, A flat diminished, A flat, what you instead have is a very similar run from B flat minor, A flat, G diminished, F minor. It's going in the same direction, but it feels different. And it really neatly allows you to get back onto the fifth to go back into the chorus again, which is E flat in the key of A flat. So it's like, okay, cool, this works. And it just feels natural coming out of that. That's the only sort of intentional little bit there, but the rest of it is pure accident because I'm not very smart.
So at this point in the writing process, I've got to ask you about the lyrics, because sounds like you kind of got your musical structure down, you've got some cool ideas going on in there, some cool chord changes and stuff, and you've got your feel, obviously, and your chorus lyrics. So where do you go with the lyrics, and how do you decide what they're going to be about?
So the song is pretty much just about, like we said, about feeling disconnected and feeling sort of worn out and slightly depressed and everything. So, like I say, you've got to start off and build. You've then got to escalate, and then you've got to sort of hint at a resolution because the chorus in number three changes slightly. So it's kind of laying down the problem, some more of the problem, what might help, or some. I think in this case it's more like a revelation or like a sort of moment of realization that you see, like, okay, everyone goes through this stuff. This isn't unique to me. It's not the end of the world. We can get through this kind of thing. And then, like I say, the verses are just various instances that sort of lead up to feeling like the chorus. I used to work with someone called Daryl, who, when I was trying to write a song before, had this brilliant system for like trying to work out what a song is about. And he sort of said, okay, so make a list of symptoms, the problem, and what you're going to do about it. And that's basically verses, chorus, and bridge. And this isn't the method that I follow for this one, but like it sort of reverse engineered, it does apply in that sort of way.
I really like that.
Symptom, problem, what are you going to do about it?
I'm going to try writing a song like that. That's an interesting way to do it.
Like, even if you don't follow it through to the letter, it's an interesting way to sort of think about the structure of a song, particularly one that sort of hopefully has some sort of changing meaning over the course of it. This one doesn't really, but the final verse does change slightly, so you've got to do something to sort of get from A to B.
Yeah, I think just having like sort of shifts along the course of a song is a good framework, because it allows you to kind of complete the song, but B, it's a good sort of like pivot system, because yeah, you have the problem, but then you also have like a different take on it, or a solution, or a different perspective, or like you said, a revelation or something.
Yeah, it's just good structuring, essentially good storytelling. Like if you see the Motown people talking about how they wrote songs and everything, they're always talking about the story of the song, and like there's no story here, that you need to get a bit more structure in there, like things that happen and progress all the way through, which it's good writing if you can do it. And on occasion, I try to. And even on stuff like this, where it's not necessarily the best thing I've written in the world, it's just like, okay, cool. It's made it a bit better than what it could have been.
I like the idea of like having more of a writer's, like, you know, pen writer. That's what they're called, isn't it? A pen writer.
A pen writer, like, yes. That's what you put on your resume. Like, I spent years as a pen writer. I pen wrote three novels.
Pen wrote three novels. But like, I like the idea of having a literary, you know, eye on these kind of things. I listened to a comedy podcast a while back. These three people who weren't musicians, as far as I know anyway, and they were talking about some song or another, and they were like, the song's so disappointing because you never find out what happens in the end, like a book or a film or something. And to my mind, as like a musician who doesn't like write prose or anything, I was thinking like, it doesn't matter, you know, but they were really like, you should find out what happens at the end of a song. And that kind of made me think about it completely differently.
But also, that's kind of a weird one, because it, like, that discussion there sort of removes ambiguous endings from the equation. There are some endings where you don't know what's happened, and stories are stronger for it. Like, you don't know what motivated the character to make their last action, or like, you know, what happens next is, you know, left for you to infer. Like, it's interesting thinking about songs as stories, and I'm not very good at this.
I think they were talking
like
they were talking about a country song, I think, which they tend to be much more like, my baby left me, now I'm doing this, and next I'm going to go and do that. you know. So
very much more a linear progression of events rather than I feel I've got some emotions. I'm still having these emotions.
Yeah, because to me, like, songs have always been, as a listener, to me, songs have always been a place I go to if I'm going to them lyrically, which I don't always do anyway. Sometimes it's just like, this song just has a certain energy to it, which I like. But if I do go to a song lyrically, it's usually because it's a little captured moment of, like, angst or, you know, frustration or love or something. And it's like, I go to that song just to be in that moment with the song. It doesn't really matter that there's not, like, a kind of, and they all lived happily after sort of thing.
Yeah. I suppose also as well, like you mentioned there, like songs do have energy apart from the content of the lyrics. And sometimes the words and the music sort of end up contrasting each other. Key example I always use is Mika, Grace Kelly. Like it's a bouncy, happy pop song, but it's like, okay, decide what you want me to be and I'll be it for you, but just make up your mind kind of thing.
Yeah.
We're not poets at the end of the day. That's something I say as well a lot, as you know. We're not poets. We're musicians. We deal with the vibe and the energy of the music primarily. If we happen to write some good words, fantastic. We'll take that. But like, ultimately, it's not why we're there. So we've actually had an email into the podcast from a regular writer, Ben Alder. Thank you very much. As a subject line, he writes, 17 seasons! With that many exclamation marks.
Three
entire exclamation marks. Yeah, this was obviously sent at the end of the last run, and we've been waiting to read it out. So he writes, hey, Roger and Declan, congrats on reaching season 17. 17 seasons of a new song every week, barring the roundup weeks. It's nothing short of impressive and really inspirational. When I originally stumbled on the pod a few years back, you guys really reframed what was possible for me in terms of how quickly and consistently songwriting could be done. Total game changer for me, realizing that you don't have to wait for inspiration to strike. You can go after it and hunt it down. I like that. Which came in handy when I was writing the attached song, Big Bad Wolf. Some friends and I were challenged to produce a new song within a month, which for me meant that I needed to write something new as I didn't have anything to work on. The goal was to write, record, and produce a demo to share by the end of the month. Despite many attempts at trying to write, though, nothing felt like it was working. Life was intense at the time, and I was probably just too tired. But the month flew by, and I thought I was going to fail the challenge. With a couple of days to spare before the deadline, though, I decided that if I kept the music simple, I had no time for complicated, and went with the first lyric ideas that came to mind without judging them too harshly, I might just have enough time to throw something together. In a couple of places, I found I could use snippets of lyric ideas that I had written on my whiteboard earlier in the year, which really helped me get over the line. In the end, the music and lyrics were done in a little over a morning. I hope you guys like it. If people are interested in checking out my other stuff, I'm on Spotify and all the usual places. I'm also semi-active on Instagram and Facebook at Ben Alder Music, BenAlderMusic, too. Also, massive kudos to Declan for finally convincing Roger of how awesome Muse's Absolution album is, because it is awesome. It's brilliant. I love it. Cheers, Ben. Thank you very much for writing, Ben. Let's have a listen to that song, The Big Bad Wolf.
That was Big Bad Wolf by Ben Alder. And I've got to say, it kind of comes back to what we were saying earlier, Declan, about, you know, you go a while without writing and you go, can I write something again, you know? And, I mean, if that was the first thing after a little hiatus from writing, fantastic, you know, just so strong.
Yeah, I wouldn't be disappointed if I had that in my catalogue. That's quite a nice song. I love that sort of driving synth throughout it and sort of the tone of the guitars. And Roger Canitis, I was doing a wee bit of air drumming there when the drums came in. It was fun.
Yeah, I mean, just sonically too, the drum sound was really nice. And the whole, everything was really well balanced. And
some lovely vocals. It felt very choral in places in the middle.
Mm, definitely. And I got to say, I like the idea as well of kind of going back to that lyric whiteboard as well. That's a really cool idea, kind of going like, oh, what should I put in here? And going like, oh, well, I've got like a kind of pool to draw from, which is cool.
Almost like, you know, those sort of adverts you see where you can sort of take tabs off the bottom, like, here's lyric ideas, take one.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, fantastic. And also, thank you very much, Ben, for the things you said about the podcast and kind of rethinking about writing sort of and going after writing rather than waiting for it, I think
which is fitting with a song called Big Bad Wolf.
Exactly. Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, thank you so much for sending that in. Really, really cool song.
And also thank you for attesting that Muse's Absolution is a really good album, because it is. Thank you.
As I said last season, I'm only, what, 15 years late to the party or something? Oh, no, 20. 20 years late. Damn. Okay, so now on to the section we like to call, what have you been listening to lately, Declan? So, Declan, what have you been listening to lately?
I love the section is specifically, what have you been listening to, Declan? I'm not going to ask you at any point what I've been listening to. I haven't listened to so much. I did just go on a bit of a binge around some charity shops today, and I've picked up, I think, 16 CDs to have a listen to. So hopefully I should have a few better answers next week. But this week, the week that we're recording, Bandcamp Friday has just been and gone. So I picked up a couple of things from there. I picked up, I think it's NX Worries, which is Anderson .Paak and someone.
And Knowledge, I think he's called.
Correct. Yes, I completely, totally remembered that and did not have to be prompted. Also listened to, picked up Joel Culpepper's first EP, I think, Tortoise, which is quite good. And then Boundless Brothers, which is a band that I used to play with a few years ago. I finally picked up their album, Love and Monsters, and that was quite nice. I quite enjoyed my time with that. I felt quite nice and happy and buoyant by the end of it.
Nice. You know what I like about you? You're a Bandcamp Friday supporter. I like that.
Nothing else. The rest of you can just like be chucked in a bin somewhere, but you do support Bandcamp Fridays. Right, it helps. It lines up with my payday now, which it didn't quite do before. But what about yourself? What have you been having a bit of a listen to? You were saying earlier, like The Shivers.
Yeah. Did you get a chance to check out that track I sent over?
Yes, I did. Yeah, it felt very 60s retro, like 70s, early 70s retro.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think the 60s thing is a good point with that one, because I don't really know anything about them, but I get the impression they were quite influenced by British Invasion stuff. Just the chords and melodies and stuff, but they're also quite like, I thought they were kind of like Blondie a little bit, in the sense that they're quite new wave, you know?
It's kind of interesting because Blondie do have a little bit of the 50s in them with some of their songs. But then they are also quite 70s punk in certain areas, mixing in with disco. I do like Blondie. I just want to think about Blondie now. I just want to listen to Blondie as well, rather than just think about the existence of the band. Listening to their music is probably a more fulfilling experience. Sorry, we were talking about The Shivers.
It would be funny now if you just like logged off the chat and it's like Declan left the conversation and you just
hear off the microphone.
Like, you're not even offline, you're just like distracted. Yeah. But yeah, I watched the Ramones documentary End of the Century a couple of weeks ago, and that had a big impact on me. Because they were one of the first bands, the Ramones, that I ever really got into when I was younger. And I kind of got back into them again recently and listened to them a little bit differently and just realized how much I like simple power chord, fast music. And the Shivers are like that too, but they're a little bit, like, you kind of listen to them on the surface and you go, that's like three chords or something. But they've actually got quite a few different turnarounds and interesting changes and stuff like that in there, which I obviously enjoy. But they're one of those bands that has, I think they put out two albums or something. And it's just such a shame there's not more.
They give me a bit of a vibe of like almost Jellyfish, like to a degree. I think Jellyfish probably sound a little bit harder based off the one track that you sent me, but I sort of see that part of vibe in them.
Yeah, same here. Same here. I think they both get categorized in the power pop subgenre quite often. So I guess they're tied in that sense. But I mean, anything that's like melodic guitar based music, I'm a big fan of. So I'm getting back into that sort of more new wave punk sort of sound at the moment. So I'm enjoying it.
So next week, you will be Debbie Harry.
I hope so. That is the hope.
The best answer. I hope so.
Yeah, that is the hope. So, I haven't been listening to a ton recently. As I've said before, I kind of go through phases where, like, I'll just get into a band or an artist for a few weeks at a time and just listen to them pretty exclusively. But that may all change next week. You never know.
You say that as if you've got some big thing like coming up or something like. So next week, I'm downloading all of music history into my brain.
It won't be long until you can do that with Neuralink. I heard the first person in the world had Neuralink put in there.
They got spam, so much spam.
Oh my God, can you imagine? I mean, we get spam and we're just a little podcast, but we have a Neuralink in there. Will you be different?
Ear, can't be having any of that Neuralink in here. I like my brain free of spam, thank you very much. I don't want you to send emails there.
No, keep that Neuralink over the Tamar, that's what I say. but I think that brings us the episode to a nice ending note, if you will. Resolution, if you will.
And the note is E.
Wait, was that E? Close, I think.
No, actually, it was G. Sorry. I feel like I've lied to everyone.
Well, on that somber note, no, thank you everybody for tuning into, watching, and listening to the first episode of Season 18 of the Weeks Film Podcast. It's fun being on video. I'm having a blast with this. This is fun.
It's nice knowing when you stop speaking so I don't interrupt you quite as much.
I mean, it's just been fun. It's just been fun. So join us next week for another episode of the Weeks Film Podcast. You can follow us, of course, on all the social medias, Facebook and Instagram. You can now subscribe to us on YouTube. Well, you could always do that, but now you can. Now you really can.
Yeah, the person in charge of it before didn't put much up on there, so we're trying to change that slightly.
Well, the Instagram guy, me, didn't handle the Instagram too well. We're busy people. We don't have a staff. It's just me and Declan, you know.
We got songs to write, you know.
We got kids to feed.
Wait, what?
We'll talk after the episode. But you can email the show if you have any feedback, comments, questions, songs of your own that you wrote in a week, or any correspondence whatsoever. Reach us at weeklysongpodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram and all the other places I just mentioned at @weeklysongpodcast. You can follow the band that Declan and I are in together, which is called Schnookums.
Declan or I, only one of us can be in the band at any one time.
We're like Paramore.
in that respect only.
You can follow Schnookums on Instagram. That's at schnookums.band, which is S-C-H-N-O-O-K-U-M-S. And we're also on Bandcamp and Spotify and Apple Music and all the rest of it. Our debut album, which is called Attaboy, is out now. And I think we're really proud of it.
I know I'm really proud of it. It's really good.
I know I'm really proud of it, but I don't want to speak for you. Anyway, I'm taking ages with this outro. So, Declan, where can people find you and your music online? Let them know.
So you can find my music in the normal places that you Spotify, YouTube, Tidal, Bandcamp, Deezer, probably, who knows. Search Declan Kitchener. I have one album and a few EPs out at the moment. The album is called Apathy Will Get You Nowhere, because I'm quite clearly a cheery sort of person. Hopefully looking to get something out later this year, although 3 months have gone and not much has happened yet. So we'll see with that one. I'll be making this promise come 2034. What about yourself, Roger? Where can people find your music and your most recently released record?
Well, yeah, the most recent album I put out was called Racing Alone, put out on January 26th, and we did an episode together about it, which if you're subscribed, you probably will have heard. But if you haven't heard it yet, we go into taking it from demo to fully recorded thing and the production choices and all that sort of thing that goes into it. So take a listen to that. It'll just be down your podcast feed or up, depending on which way you scroll. And
navigate your podcast feed. It will be there somewhere.
It's online. And yeah, the
album, but where itself... online? Online, I said.
And the album itself is on, you know, Spotify, Apple Music, Bandcamp, all the rest of it, YouTube as well. And you can follow me on Instagram at Roger Heathers. You can follow me on Facebook under the same handle. And that's pretty much it. Thank you all very much for listening to the Weekly Song Podcast. We're both pumped to be back. We're excited to bring you 2 fresh new songs next week and discuss how they were written. And I think that's pretty much it. Ta-ra.
Ta-ra.